all heard about avidya, the understanding that there is this tendency of humans to suffer in the ignorance of the true self. So the idea of that, you know, the not knowing leads us into such suffering, and that it's said to stem from this, what's referred to as like the clinging to life or the fear of death, which the greatest sages have, right? That leads us into such aversion to pain and attachment to pleasure, and this this what's asmita, the I am-ness, you know, which is kind of funny, this idea of the I am, because it's kind of like so often I reckon we tend to be like our shortfalls, that I am not good at this or good at that, or don't you reckon? So I am isn't even necessarily, although it can be of that, of the like a self-aggrandizement kind of idea. It can be like that, but it's actually often, for many of us, that, you know, like it's more the other way. But it's still I am-ness, you see? When we're just thinking we're not good enough, that's also the I am-ness as well. It's just the other side of the same coin, if you like. It's understood that these kleshas, these afflictions, you know, affect us all because we have this this kind of underground thing of this, the idea of the clinging to life or the fear of death, which, you know, I often don't get to talk about, because there's so much to talk about to do with the avidya, with the not knowing or the ignorance, or how we can be actively in the state of believing stuff. You know, we're going to talk about that for 50 hours, so sometimes I don't get to that. And partly I also don't get to this kind of like the whole basis of it, because it's very hard to even sort of have a conversation about that, because I think pretty much everybody just about has a fear of death, except Al. He's like, I'm not afraid of death. Like, he truly isn't. And I'm like, well, that's obviously enlightenment, because I am, you know, like quite often. And do you ever have that feeling of that sort of clutching, like, how long have we got? Who knows? We don't know, right? And I actually think that that's potentially a good thing, because you know how I said to this teaching in yoga is that death is our friend sitting on our shoulder. It actually can kind of harness us into, well, let's stop fucking around then. Like, you know, like, we don't know how long we've got. And in a similar way that, you know, like in postures we can be in, I'm sure all of you have had this because I know you've all been in my class before. You know, and I'll often say something like, okay, just for a couple more breaths or three more breaths. And it's like quite visible. That I can see when there people go, okay, I can do it. It's only three breaths. And there's just this surrendering. It's almost like, okay, then I'll be really here then, because it's gonna be over soon, kind of thing. And I think that's brilliant for us to get that. That's the reality of life all the time, because we don't actually know. And so that's the idea of death, is our friend sitting on our shoulder. We don't really know how long we have, and so it makes it so precious, doesn't it? So it's said that the greatest sages have that fear, that sort of clinging, and so that's what I'm saying. It's not surprising that it can be a challenge for us, this part of the teaching. But the thing that I've been thinking about it is that because also, you know, like how you've probably all heard this idea of reincarnation, right? Has everyone heard of the idea of reincarnation? And it's kind of like not part of our societal norms, you know, for most of us. It's not how we were raised. Like, not everyone here, but many of us were kind of raised with the picture of a god on a cloud and and the pearly gates of heaven kind of idea, you know? Like, that's kind of an image that some of us were kind of brought up with. And maybe as we've grown up, we might have thought, well, don't know about that either. You know, so we may have really got more to a point of like not knowing. And that's actually, yoga actually encourages this not knowing, because that's the idea of understanding what avidya is. Like, often it's translated as ignorance, but it's not just not knowing, actually. It's actually actively believing that, and thinking that we know, when it's like, how can you know the unknowable, right? And so that's kind of more about what avidya is to do with. So, what we do know, we all learnt this in science. Do you remember this in science? That energy cannot be destroyed, right? It can only transform. Everyone remember learning that? Like, you actually, you know, I used to be a school teacher. You learn that at different stages again and again, right? But it's taught early, right? That it cannot be destroyed. It can only be transformed. And so I'm not saying to you to believe in reincarnation, right? I'm not saying to. In fact, I'm saying to you, let's possibly even like have the experience of even being beyond beliefs. I'm not saying to you to change your beliefs either. Please don't get me wrong. Okay, I'm just saying that. What about contemplating this idea of the fact that while we are of the elements and we are matter, you know, we are bones and flesh and tissue and blood and water and everything else like that, right? So that's this idea in, you know, of the chakras, that you are the earth element. You have the earth element in you. You have the water element in you. You have the fire element in you. And you can feel that fire when you breathe and you feel the air comes in cooler and it goes out warmer. You know, even when it's so freezing, you know, and you're like, oh, it's so cold today. You know, you can feel the breath out is still warm. Like, you're like your own little heater all the time. You know, right there. Which, by the way, is a really good thing for those of us who get very cold, is to just remember, oh, you know, that you're like your own heat source. Which is also because you're of the elements of fire. We're the element of air, we can experience that in our breath, and the element of space is within us. Right? So we have all these elements, but we are not just the elements, right? We're not just the elements. We are more than that. We are more than the elements. We are this animating force, this aliveness, which that is what we all have in common as well as the elements. So that, according to these teachings in yoga, is not changing. That cannot change. That can transform, and you've experienced it transforming inside you already, because you've changed from when you're a baby. You've changed from when you're a 4-year-old and a 10-year-old and a 15-year-old, right? So our matter has changed, and you know, what's that thing that they say, like, it's like a new arm every how long? Like, whatever. That thing that they say about how our cells are all renewing, and you know, and the tissues are all changing, and you know, some of us like special exfoliants to help that. You know what I mean? Like, there is this constant renewing, right? And so the matter is changing, but this animating force has the capability of transformation, yet is ever existent. And so that's that, once we kind of consider that, is helping us to overcome that klesha of that like fear. Because the fear, when you consider it, is not real. We just feel like it's real. Because when we're believing fear, we feel physiological experiences within us that they're real, and it's because of the fear. But the fear isn't real. So that can maybe help us with that, and that perhaps, potentially, just putting it out there as a maybe, could assist us all to have that realization that transformation is actually, it can't not be, and that there is such freedom in that. And so that's really why, it's really why to have our sadhana practice, or your spiritual practice, so you are connecting to spirit that cannot die. That's quite good, isn't it? Yeah. So really, really. I just find that's really nice, don't you? Mm-hmm. Think of that. So, I think that we're all familiar with the the fact of the breath coming into us as inspiration. And you feel how, you know, how your thoracic diaphragm moves downwards as the breath comes in. And it moves upwards as your breath goes out. And so we're all familiar with the volume change that's occurring in the chest cavity. You start to feel down into the shape change in the pelvis as you're breathing in. And just very subtly, you know, subtle, can you just experience how there's a movement downwards of the pelvic floor as your breath comes in, and then how the pelvic floor just gently kind of domes upwards as you breathe out. And you just kind of let yourself relax into that experience. Sometimes you can have a sense of how it's kind of like a feeling of being even more than your body, that there. You can even have a feeling as if you're experiencing the breath. Beyond the basis of your torso, coming in, as you're sitting here, you can have a sense of drawing upwards from the earth as you exhale. And you know you have a throat diaphragm as well. So there's, you can feel the air going into your throat as you breathe in. You can feel it moving downwards as you breathe in. And you can feel it moving upwards as you breathe out. You don't have to be trying to breathe. You can just simply be aware of the breath. And what's happening is that the vocal folds, kind of like curtains, they just spread open and move downwards as the breath's coming in. And then gently drawing together and upwards, doming upwards as you're breathing out. You can just kind of sense this feeling of like opening across, as if all the way up to the tips of your shoulders and your collarbones as the breath's coming in, the curtain's opening wide, and as you're breathing out, softening, doming upwards, feel the sense of lifting in the roof of the mouth as you're breathing out. Feel it all the way down through your body as you're breathing in, so moving it downwards in your throat, and your upper abdomen, and into the pelvis, and then upwards as you're breathing out. And even in your brain, there's a diaphragm, just in that almost membrane. It's a gentle, very, very subtle movement downwards as you're breathing in. Upwards as you're breathing out. And just imagine, so as if you have a feeling of opening in the skull. So as you're breathing in, a feeling of all the way down through the skull and throat and abdomen, down to the pelvic floor, into the earth. And as you're breathing out, floor, through your abdomen and throat, all the way up past the crown of your head. and this is the experience of when we om. So from this deep center, your palms together at your chest, and as your hands touch, also feel into the center, your center, and set your intention. Upwards in the pelvic floor and the abdomen and the throat, up into the brain, the sound of the vibration, the feeling of the vibration moves upwards as you om. And as you breathe in, you feel all the way down into your body, inhaling together. Over to the other side, releasing down the right side and back to center. Just go from side to side, that feels nice for you. You might even want to hold on one side for longer. And then coming back to center and curling under. Just holding here for a couple more breaths in this position. Feeling of the breath as you're inhaling, going all the way down to the pelvic floor. And as you're breathing out, as if you're exhaling through the top of the skull, just releasing and sitting back into child's pose. Walk your hands across over to the right, press your left sitting bone down towards the left heel. Back to center and over to the other side.
It is not leaving. from side to side.
If that feels nice for you. And as you're breathing out, just imagine as if you're just exhaling, releasing through the top of the skull. Lock underneath your hip, otherwise just lay onto your back into ankle to knee.
Shakti Buddhe Sanatana. downward facing dog. Walk your hands back towards your feet. Time to walk back out into downward facing dog and step your left foot forwards to turn around into prasarita padottanasana to face the side walls. You feel a wider padding. You might want to put your hands into blocks or onto the ground. Again, as you're breathing in, you have this sense of breathing all the way down into the pelvis, and as you're breathing out, you from the pelvis past the crown of the head. Flat back, and as you breathe out, come into forward bend, and as you breathe in, come up to stand up, reaching up, that's it, blowing the breath all the way down into the wall, with exhale, palms by the side, and just closing your eyes, feeling the force of your breath, the breath. You don't have to try and it's like you're just letting yourself experience cellular respiration. Your whole body's going to be light. As it turns out, it is. you're moving fully, like part of life and aware of your senses, that you are also more than the senses that pull you out. On this next one, when you're ready, when you come into Uttanasana, then we're going to walk out into downward dog. So just take your own time. Then moving into plank. Lowering down into the ground. Inhaling into cobra. Exhaling into downward facing dog. Walking your hands back towards your feet. Breathing into the back. Breathing out into forward bend. Inhaling, coming all the way up to stand up. Keep all your hands, fingers interlaced, except your first fingers. Press into your feet, reach up and over to the right. Feel like you can kind of press out through the little toe sides of both heels, outwards, right, one right, and left, one left. Then coming back up again and over to the other side. Feel that sense of pressing out through your legs and pressing forward to the top of the hips. Reaching out, feel like you're lifting underneath your shoulder blades over an imaginary bar. So feel like you're going up, 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 and then bend your knees, coming into forward bend, walking out into downward facing dog. Lowering down into the ground. This time we're going to turn behind your back and interlace your fingers and press the heel of the hands together. And now just put the other finger in front. So switch the organization of your fingers. Press the palms together and draw yourself up. Chest lifting, draw your knuckles back, draw your little fingers up. Think of bringing the front of your thighs more forwards. And we're just going to hold here for one more breath and see if you can get that feeling of the movement of the diaphragm. You can kind of feel it as the ground helps you to feel the thoracic. Exhale, lower down, next one, and lift up into plank. Into down, facing dog. Raising your right leg as you breathe in. Bring your right knee to the right side of the chest. Inhale, raise your right leg. Bring your knee across to the other side. Beautiful, inhale, raise your right leg. Step your foot through into warrior two. So arms out to the side. Can you have that same feeling with your right leg? So you're hugging the knee to your chest. That kind of feeling like when you're moving it through. With your left leg, can you have the opposite action as if you're pressing the little toe side of your foot over to the left and as if you're making that leg straighter? Reverse warrior. Bring your hands down and step back into downward facing dog. This looks so beautiful, everybody. It's so, so lovely. Raising your left leg. Exhale, knee to chest. See this feeling, get a hugging up feeling. And inhale, raise the leg. And exhale, over towards the other side. So this is kind of the sense that we want in the front leg in warrior two. Raise your leg up. And then step your foot through into warrior two. And so, you see, when you're bringing your leg across, that really gets you to feel that your abdominal muscles are hot, don't you reckon? See, especially my friends that have got a lot of external rotation in the hip, right? And people find it very easy to sit in lotus. You want to still, you don't want to like overdo the left knee to the left. Although we all do want the left knee in line with the left hand. So we are doing that action. We're doing this action with the hip, externally rotating the hip. But can you also get the feeling of this action? That's so hard. Because it's hard, why do I do it? You see, can you do that? You see, it kind of powers you up a lot. You feel that? And it makes it easier for you to be here for 5 hours when I do a crap. And now reverse warrior. Then bring your hands down and step back into downward facing dog. Walk your hands back towards your feet. And breathe into flat back. And breathe out into forward bend. Your arms, breathe in. your whole foot arch. Really power up through your back foot, feel like you're pushing it back. Land back all the way to the low lunge. So hold all the way down. Beautiful. Exhale, bring your hands down. Step back to downward facing dog. Raise your left leg as you breathe in. Step through your head with the breath out. Land into the ground. Use that.
Towards your right armpit and then back to centre and over towards the other side. Good, and just do that a couple more times. Keep squeezing your inner knees together strongly, really strongly squeezing the inner knees together, and then release down with your head. Draw your legs up, okay? Keep squeezing your inner knees together, and now start to bring your arms back behind your head if that's okay for your shoulders. And can you still get this sense, even though your arms are back behind you and it's harder, that as if you could bring your bottom to lift off the ground and squeeze your inner thighs together, and then now bring your knees down towards your armpit, and then back up, and then over to the other side. And just do that a couple more times. And then when you're ready, holding your legs up, hug your knees in, and then maybe we're going to roll up, or come up anyway, and squeeze your legs in. Maybe hold them or bring your arms out. Perhaps bring your legs up. And feel as if you're still like hugging them into you, even though you're extending them out. And then cross your ankles. And see if you can get this feeling like really like, as if you're doing this action, right? So as if you're pulling yourself up. If anyone's got any shoulder issues, you don't have to do all of it, right? You can just put your knees down and lean forwards, but can you still get the feeling of getting this part to lift you rather than shouldering yourself into it, okay? So then we're just gonna step back into plank, okay? So come into it however you like. Does that make sense? But I want you to attempt to use your center of your body to help you to do it more, and then into downward dog. Then hopping to sit onto your bottom and laying down onto your back again, and hug your knees in like you're in the little curled up ball position again, shoulders off the ground. Obviously, feel free to modify this as much as you like, and no one's got a secret pregnancy in the top of your head. Now bring your arms out straight. Good, and then over behind your head and let your head rest down. But can you still keep the feeling of using the center of your body when your arms go overhead? See, some of us notice that we really rely on our shoulders a lot, don't you reckon? This is different. And now we're going to make them circles with your knees. So keep your thighs squeezing together and make them circles around your knees.
Thank you. cross your ankles, take hold of your two blocks, which hopefully will add you. Turning to make sure it's two. Hold on to your two blocks, so ask you. So curl yourself forward.
So like you're pulling your thighs in towards each other and your elbows in towards your body, which is what we do, by the way, in headstands. My friends were learning about headstands the other day. You don't want your elbows to fall out. So just do one more. Just see if you can squeeze in. Squeeze your knees together, thighs together, elbows in. Like you're pulling it like that. Good. And then your knees stretch to the other side. Because this is also external rotating hip joint, you might just want to do this. You don't have to do all these steps. Okay, this is very good, very helpful. But also, by the way, do you notice how warm we are now? That might also too. But you see muscular action of diaphragm. It's just like any muscles can sometimes be tired or weak. Just consciously being aware of the breath, this movement all the way down into the pelvic floor. Crown down through your throat, through your chest and abdomen, the pelvic floor, like as if the inhalation is going down your body. And exhalation, going out, releasing up. This kind of image of transforming into pure potential, all being. When you're ready, just let your legs slide out. You bring your right ankle onto your left leg when you're ready. Bend your left leg. So your left foot's on the ground, and lift your bottom up and over to the right. And then bring your knees across into a twist. And you might want to adjust your positioning because we're again just going to focus on the feeling of the movement, the diaphragm down, the breaths in and in. Literally increasing your blood pressure and giving you a an effect into the sympathetic nervous system of being stimulated, and that's life does that to us often, doesn't it? Things that we've got to do. I think it's really empowering to realise that we don't have to reject that so much, nor do we need to get addicted to it. We don't have to be so averse and so attached. Because you have this reality, this possibility of inner peace. This teaching is that it is ever present. It's peace of mind. Shoulder and push yourself up. Take your time to push yourself all the way up. And sit however you like. You might be comfy just to sit on your knees or onto your bolster, however you like. Okay? We're just going to bring your thumbs around to massage onto the base of your skull. Yeah, you might want to put your jumpers on and your socks because eventually we'll go into Shavasana. So Just come and massage down into your neck and then along the base of your skull. And then just around down this part of your neck, these muscles down here. You can just kind of massage and release into here. All the way down into the part just above your collarbone. Which for some of us, a little bit grippy here. Try opening your mouth and go, that's quite nice. Good. So massaging back up again into the base, or along that kind of line of that muscle, up into the base of the skull. And then around onto your temples. And onto your forehead, in between your eyebrows, kind of like you're smoothing across your eyebrows, above your eyebrows. And then just let your hands relax down. If you're not comfy how you're sitting, just adjust. So make sure you can really easy here. And then just let your ears just float over towards your right shoulder, as if your ears are like a feather in the breeze, just floating across. Just being aware of the throat diaphragm. Can you imagine this kind of opening as the breath's coming in, kind of widening across and deepening down, and softening in as you're breathing out. Let your head float back up again to center, and as it's just in the center, just imagine, you can imagine as if your head's like a ball. And you're just putting the ball onto the mantelpiece of your shoulders. So feel right across your shoulders, broadness across your shoulders. You might even have a little lift underneath your armpits. And then gently let your ears just float over to the left. You can let your mouth be open, just just letting it float over. Let your eyes completely relax. You can just feel that movement in your throat. Kind of opening outwards and downwards as you're breathing in. You feel the air going into your throat, downwards as the inhalation's coming in. And the feeling of just kind of softening. Kind of like a hug. Back to center as you're breathing out. And then just let your head float back again to center. Imagine it's just resting on the shelf of the shoulders, that you don't have to do anything to hold it. And then just bring your chin towards your right armpit, so you're kind of going like a little, you're going right and forwards a little bit. And just letting your shoulders completely relax. Imagine just where you were massaging with your fingertips, that you're relaxing along your temples and your eyebrows, your forehead, your cheeks. And gently floating back up again to center, and just feeling into the brain, just under your skull. Sense and feel into this area. So from your exhaling, it's releasing, kind of subtle lifting upwards as you breathe out. And then bring your chin slightly forwards and down towards the left armpit. And letting your breath, experience of all the way deep down into your body. And then gently letting your head float back. You can just imagine there's this beautiful cloud that's just supporting it. Like the
heavenly picture. So if you've got like this gentle cloud supporting onto the base of your skull. And you can just relax right into your throat, all around where the hyoid bone is in your throat. Just a subtle feeling of your upper arms rolling outwards and your forearms just softly inwards. And when you're ready, you'll come to lay down into your back. Then we're going to lay with your block under your sacrum. So as you go down to the ground, let your ears go first. So just relax into the ground. Let the whole of the ground hold you. And then take your block, place it underneath your sacrum. On maybe the lowest level or the next level up. Or maybe two blocks, step, or one block like this. Comfortable to have the block fairly high if it's nice for you, because it kind of gives you this extra little hug into the area of the throat. It's a deeply calming effect. And you can feel how you can sort of hug down with your abdomen. This is it's creating a little inversion effect for the organs in the abdomen, chest. So you can just rest into the ground, your feet, your arms. Relax. And your tongue rest in your body. Let it rest down. Thank you.
the effortlessness of meditation, dharana to dhyana to samadhi, this experience of
being in the knowing, sense of dissolving into the breath, animating force, feeling of being purely alive, and the paradox of Shavasana. Symbolic death. It's the understanding of the idea of dust to dust. More than matter.
The vibration of Om.
fingertips, giving yourself a little cuddle, wiggling your toes. If you'd rather stay resting, of course, please do. You're so welcome to do that. So you might like to just let the arms wash over you, or we can join together for three arms. Take your time to roll over to your side and just rest there for a little while. And when you're ready to sit up, coming up. Join together for three ohms. That feeling, that experience of breath coming all the way deep down into your body, and then the vibration of the om moving upwards through your body past the crown of your head.